Please join me in Luke chapter 24. As you turn there, by way of introduction, please think through what we're about to see. We're about to see your brothers in grief. Why are they in grief? I'd ask you to consider your own life and your own grief. Why are you in grief? When we look here, we'll see two of your brothers in grief because of their expectations. They're in grief because of their expectations. They're also in grief because of the sin in the world, the way that people have responded to the Lord Jesus Christ. The grief because of the sin that has happened in their lives, the sin that they have seen, the sin of their leaders, the sins of the world as the nations have risen up against the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, their grief because of their expectation about what Jesus was going to do and when he was going to do it and how he was going to do it. I invite you to consider your grief in your life now to see if the sin, if the grief that you have is because of the sin that is in your life, your own sin, the sin of others, the sin of leaders. If it's because of your expectations of what Christ was going to do, when he was going to do it, and how he was going to do it. As we see here, the grief of your brothers, as it reflects accurately your grief in your own life, we see then the Lord Jesus Christ comes specifically to them and answer their need. He answers their need with the scriptures by being there specifically for them, hearing them, and then showing them salvation in the gospel as he brings this great word to them. Let's look and see if these things are so. Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 13. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place, while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all these things, it is the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who had said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but he himself they did not see. He said to them, 'Oh, foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?' Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going further. But they urged him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went to stay with them. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?' And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, 'The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon.' They began to relate their experience on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of bread." We look here and we see Jesus moving in and answering their sorrow, Jesus moving in and answering their pain. I invite you to this place where Christ is with you, where you are with him, where you are hearing him, where he is being explained to you, where your heart will burn within you as he answers the great needs of your own hearts, the very needs of your soul. And from that place, being with him, also walking with him, in order to explain what he has shown you, what he has taught you, what he has done for you, to answer the needs of your brothers and your sisters, where they have their great burdens. So we follow Christ, and we listen to him, and we proclaim him. Our first step is take heart that Christ himself comes to you. You did not choose him, but he has chosen you. He has come to you intentionally, and he has spoken to you. He has given you that heart to believe. Verse 15, while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. Romans 10:14 and Ephesians 4:21 describes that you personally and intentionally, on God's part, you have heard the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come to you himself by his Spirit in the preaching of the word. We remember in Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together, Jesus says, there I am in their midst. You have intentionally been met by Jesus Christ, for him to speak to you and care for you and bless you. It's been a long longing in my life. I would say I wish I could have been on the road to Emmaus to have heard that sermon. But we look and we see that Peter, as he speaks, he says that you and I have the prophetic word made more sure. He has spoken to us even more directly and completely, as you have been given the full revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter describes it and says, pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. Now we see the posture of Christ, and we learn much about the posture of Christ here as he's interacting with these disciples. We see in verses 17 through 19 the way that he listens to them. And this step is for you to really hear people. I was talking to a pastor recently, and he was describing what a hard time he has listening to people when he hears them going off the trail into a wrong theology. He asked me, why should I listen to them when I already know what they're going to say and I already know their error? Well, hear how Jesus interacts with the disciples here. And he said to them, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only one visiting in Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here these days? And he said to them, what things? I've wanted to write a sermon called, What Things? He stands there with holes in his hands and his side, and he asked them, what things? And he invites them to explain their grief and their sorrow. He already knows what's in the heart of every man. He knows everything about them. He knows everything they think. He knows before a word is on their tongue. He knows precisely. But he takes this posture of love and affection towards them and hears them out. What things? He asks them. Remember also, we love him because he has heard our supplicating plea. We love him because he hears the sound of our voice. These are the words of Christ in the Psalms. Can you have that same posture? Do you imagine that you already know the thoughts of all men? Do you imagine that you know the words on a man's tongue before he speaks them? I invite you to that humble posture. What things? I remind you of the words of the prophet. This you know, my beloved brethren, but every one must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. These are the words that Christ gives to us to have that posture that he himself has had. Now, he does get to the place where he speaks extremely directly, and this is our third step, to be quick of heart to believe. He gets around to that place in verse 25, and he said to them, "Oh, foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Where are you foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken?" We come to that place and we find our stumbling and we find our weakness, we find our sin. Isn't it that place where two chalices are offered to us? One is golden and ornate, and one is just looks like an earthen vessel, and one is the promise of Satan, and one is the word and the promise of Christ. Where we say, "Give me the pretty one. Give me the one that makes me feel good. Give me the one that looks beautiful." And we find that it's actually the cup of wrath. It's that place of sin where we yield again and again. Isn't it that place where we are slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken? We see that Jesus himself ushers them back, and he describes himself through Moses and through the prophets. Verse 27 says, about all the things concerning himself. You and I, we must be in that place where we're pressing against that spiritual dampening in our lives, where we want to believe the things that we see more than the things that have been promised, where we would believe our feelings more than we would believe what has been promised by the Lord Jesus Christ. Where are you foolish? Where are you slow to believe all that Christ has spoken? We see this dangerous place that we can be in. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whose case the God of this world, not speaking of Christ, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they will not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We are in that place where we must actively be praying to overcome the flesh. Ephesians 1:19, the prayer is this: I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Do you imagine that you've arrived? People used to ask me, and they'll still ask me, where did you grow up? And I used to say, Irondale, Ohio. Later on, people would ask me, when they asked me, where did you grow up? I would say, seminary. Later on, as they would ask me, where did you grow up? I'd say, Eastvale. I'm not done. And neither are you. Have you arrived where you know the hearts of all men? Have you arrived where you no longer need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? We have not arrived. The best we can do is fall back and be quick to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, knowing Christ, present Christ. We see Jesus unveiled and he presented himself. And then we see the attitude and the posture of those who have seen him and have believed. They got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, the Lord has really risen and appeared to Simon. They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of bread. Knowing Christ, his glory, his power, his gentleness, his word taught and proclaimed and given to you, be in that place where that is your message, that the Christ really has risen. He really does speak. He really does heal. He really does meet our needs. And those expectations that you have had about what He will do and when, fall back and trust Him, that He is the one who knows the end from the beginning and the beginning to the end. He is the one who has spoken, is speaking, and His word will never return void. Fall to that place of humility where you're knowing Him, loving Him, walking with Him, being changed by Him, and give Christ to your brothers, your sisters, and to the lost. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You that You speak to us, that You have spoken to us. We thank You that Christ Himself has come to us. We thank You for Your great word that is proclaimed with Your Holy Spirit. Father, please encourage our hearts and move us forward in grace and the knowledge of Your Son, Jesus Christ. It is in His name that we pray. Amen. The next psalm is Psalm 84b. It can be a great encouragement to look and see that we will advance from strength to strength, but it is also that reminder that we must continuously be advancing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that none of us have arrived, but we move forward with Him and in Him, and it is Christ Himself who is our shield and our light, our rescuer and our deliverer. Is this what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to say, now let's stand and sing 84b. Yeah, let's stand and sing 84b.